We are live for our 52nd episode, which is better than our 50th because it means that we've done a year's worth of these things. So we're live in the Frock Quarters. This is Ben. I have blogger extraordinaire Vince.
Hey, hey, hey.
We have fart enthusiast Brendan.
I love farts.
And Brendan is here. Brett is here. Strong squirrels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
You just... Yeah. Repeating Brendan's intro for me.
Yeah.
Is that really fake, what it's come to?
Fake Brett's here, too.
Hey.
We got Brendan, and to the left of Brendan, it's, I don't know, Brendan.
We had a Brandon on last week. We've got a good episode where you have the Doctor of Fart Lore. He's going to come on and tell us about the history of farting in the world.
Farting in America.
And yeah, I guess it's specific to America.
Farting and, yeah.
I hope I don't laugh uncontrollably.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Vince did see a pre-screening of The Green Hornet, which...
Green Lantern.
Whatever. Those movies are the same.
I don't think they're that different. I never saw The Green Hornet, but...
You know. Green Lantern shockingly wasn't good. By the trailers, it looks awesome.
Surprising.
We're going to play some news clips. I guess there's a Shaq sex tape out there. That's the rumor.
Stay tuned.
We do have a real live...
Who knows what topics we'll get to?
We have a live doctor that can tell us that fecal transplants are real.
Yeah, I was gonna kill him, but then we were like, "Oh no, let's."
We can use him. We can use him for the broadcast.
You just don't get it, do you? And Vince also wanted to talk about a silly stand-up experience that he had.
Oh yeah, So I went.
I guess we're just gonna start with your thing then, huh?
Well, it's not very long.
Just jump right into that story.
Well, you know, go easiest first. Have you ever had a to-do list? You do the easiest one first.
I don't know. We could just get the doctor to say yeah. Poop transplants exist.
Yeah, well, we got that. We can get to that.
Seems easy. That's all I'm saying.
We'll get to poop transplants.
Playing devil's advocate here.
Brendan's to-do list is just like on a yellow notepad. It just says, get doctored to say poop transplants exist.
Yep.
Check.
Hey, Brendan, how you doing today? What seems to be the problem?
Poop.
I see him drawing equations on a window and then sweating, and then it's like a time lapse, and then, you know, he's mopping his brow with a handkerchief, and then he runs out. And you know, he
farts.
He shouts to the heavens, poop transplants are real. To the street.
I wish you just would have told your story now.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. I got
why would anybody listen to me?
I'm
a doctor. And then like goes that. Reaches for the ID and there's like no ID in the wallet. What's the big idea here?
Was Jimmy Stewart?
Well, that's how everyone talked. And like, I'm talking about like the old school black and white Twilight. Yeah.
Everyone just talked.
Say, what's going on here?
There's farts here. See,
that's old. That's like Jimmy Cagney.
Oh wow!
I get all my Jimmys mixed up.
I know. I was just gonna say that I went to a normal open mic the other night, and I think it was a great success because nobody laughed, and I later realized that. Everyone in the audience was German kids from the hostel that was nearby. And afterwards, a crazy woman being fully earnest was trying to give me her business card because she thought I would make a competent impersonator of Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine. And she worked with a company that hired us. Celebrity impersonators.
Needless to say.
She was telling me how much fun the Elvis impersonator was having. It's like, you totally look like Alfred
Needless
E.
to say, if you guys need an Alfred E. Newman impersonator, Vince is now on the job.
So I think that was a success.
I just had a thought. You said open mic. Open mic would be a great name for a power bottom in gay porn.
Okay.
What's up? I'm open mic.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you not have...
Yeah.
Did you not have enough Jew jokes? What's his up with this guy? He's not funny at all.
Are there any homosexuals or gypsies in the audience?
How about the handicapped?
Grab them.
Poles? Anybody? Poles?
Seriously, where are the gods? Grab them.
Don't worry. I'm not going to annex your seat.
Say, does this handkerchief smell like Zyklon B?
I love that it started with a potential rape joke and just like, there's a Nazi in there. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, he would use Zyklon B, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
So, Vince, you actually saw Green Lantern.
Is your father a Jew?
He looks like one. Because
he's been rifling through my wallet all night. Sorry, I was trying to come up with a Nazi pickup line.
You actually saw Green Lantern.
I did see Green Lantern.
And
Battle of the Space Jizz.
I thought it was Battle of the CGI Aliens.
Well, okay, so there's
that actually the title?
There's yellow jizz fog that represents fear, and then there's green jizz fog.
Battle of the Space Jizz.
Which represents will, and then the space jizzes battle each other. And it's hilarious. Okay, I swear this is how it works. You wonder, like, what power does Green Lantern have? And here's a tip. Like, all good stories involve specificity. You know, they're very... the way to get to universality is, you know, to, you know, specifics. And the thing about Green Lantern is that it's so perfectly vague. Like, his power is basically like will. Your Green Lantern, you the will of the universe. The universe's will energy flows through your Green Lantern wig.
He's like the embodiment of the secret.
And you use that. Yeah, exactly. He uses that to like conjure mind stuff. And he's basically like meat wad, like the bad guy.
Just a meat igloo.
Yeah, exactly. Like the bad guy will like shoot a big rope of yellow fear jizz at him, and then he'll like conjure up a fucking catapult from a green catapult with his mind, and it'll shoot the yellow jizz back out into space.
Did the bad guy with the gigantic?
So basically, it was really good.
You're lying, right?
No, I'm not lying. Like at one point, the bad guy shoots some guy's helicopter down with his mind. He like, you know.
He mind jizzes
the back rotor. And so the helicopter's like,
oh no, we've been mind jizzed.
And so the helicopter's like spinning out of control with a senator on it. And the Green Lantern.
He's like yelling at the pilot, what's on the back rotor? You don't want to know. Yeah.
And so
it appears to be some sort of mind jizz.
And so the Green Lantern puts on his Green Lantern ring, and he conjures up
why would he ever take it off?
I didn't write the movie, man.
He's like, he's picking up on the yellow space girls. Yeah. It's like, yeah, look, baby.
It's like wearing your class ring. It's a little, you know, it's a little childish.
It's gaudy.
Yeah, it's gaudy. So he puts on the power ring and he conjures up. He turns the helicopter.
What if you lost it while you went
scuba
diving?
He turns the helicopter into a car. He turns it into a magic green car, and then he builds it a track with his mind. So instead of spinning out of control, like it turns into a car, and then it rides like on a Hot Wheels track around the party. I swear to God, this is not real.
The only unbelievable part is that why is the senator on the helicopter?
They ride on trains.
Mostly. Or
according to Jonah Hex.
Well, he's in bed with a defense contractor.
Of course he is.
Oh. Yeah.
Does Ryan Reynolds have to carry the actual lamp around?
No.
It's short-lived.
Is the lamp inside of the ring?
It's very vague as to what the lantern actually does.
Yeah, where's the lamp go?
The lamp was in here the whole time. I'm pointing my chest.
He keeps it in his apartment?
Did the bad guys...
It's from IKEA.
It seems like a dumb way to be a superhero. You have a ring that you take off all the time. And then a lamp that you keep in your apartment. What happens if you lose one of them? Does the other one make the other one?
Well, that's the thing. The alien comes down from the heavens, and he has to find one human who's really, really organized. Like, dude, you are not going to lose this, right?
Where to go? The container store?
I got to find one human who never loses his keys.
He's got like one of those label makers. Everything's in a manila folder. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Getting things
done. Let me see your wallet, bro. All right, cool. You can have
Smollett,
this ring.
Smollett, you seem like you got your shit together. Yeah.
How many trinkets do you need on this keychain? I don't think this is you or not.
You are not the chosen one.
Yeah. Just so many tchotchkes. Yeah. Oh, I keep the Green Lantern in the little alligator
what?
I got from
Is
Florida.
That a snow globe on your bookshelf? Eliminated.
Why do you have three bottle openers on your keychain? That is unnecessary, sir. Find someone else to hand this ring to.
Yeah.
Was Peter Sarsgaard's gigantic forehead kind of cool?
I mean, he just looked like Joss Whedon the whole time, pretty much. Yeah.
Fuck Joss Whedon.
So he had the power of space.
He was imbued with the power of space jizz.
So did it come actually out of his forehead?
No, his eyes would turn yellow whenever he did some crazy stuff.
And he just beat off real quick and space jizz it out?
Oh, his mind. Mind come.
Mind come.
Space, mind jizz, fog come.
Mm-hmm. It was
ring.
Lamp.
Suffice to say, it was not good. But Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds are the main characters. And, you know, I'd pay to watch him fuck.
Blake Lively is the naked one. What was she in the thing?
What was she in the thing? She plays a super hot test pilot.
No, so many of those.
What is she in the thing that I would recognize her in? I heard she's
in the town. She's in the town.
People are like, oh, she's in a movie that you've seen.
She's the drunk. She's the fucked up sister in the town.
Oh.
She's real pretty.
Right.
Don't you think it's amazing that we could see an actress in a movie and you're like, oh man, I wonder if she has a shaved pussy. Oh, and then you click it and it's just like right there in front of you.
It's the wonders of modern technology.
Is that space jizz? What's going on?
You're like, oh, I wonder what her vagina looks like, and you can just pull up pictures of it.
Of her vagina?
Yeah.
You can't do that for everyone's vagina.
Like a lot of people's vagina.
Most people, Ben. Most people.
Hey, I'm not a dialed
in. I saw a picture
billboard.
Of your vagina, Ben.
it's like
that's out there. I always forget to cross my legs.
It's like one in five actresses nowadays, you know?
Have their vagina on the internet?
Yeah, pretty much.
This is pretty much the funnel through which the vagina flows.
That's true. Yeah. All vagina
people see it. If there's a labe sticking out somewhere, Vince has got his eyeballs
on
it.
Well, they're like, you know who's going to want to see this.
Mine jizzing all over it.
Vince.
I pack it into my musket, dump a little water in there, and then I just shoot it out through the cyber tubes.
The labes or the mind jizz?
No, the vaginas. God, we're mixing metaphors here so badly.
He wants the mind jizz in the vagina, though.
That's where the vaginas go,
Brett. But like as a tiger, like because you can manifest.
And
it, right?
He's gonna leave his ring in there.
supreme space being. This is a little awkward. All right,
so if this was a Green Lantern fight and you were the bad guy, you would just like conjure up a yellow sword and then you like swing it at me, and then I would conjure up a green shield, and then you.
Why wouldn't I just make like a yellow syphilis that's really big and give it to you?
Because then I would develop green nanotechnology that would clear my cells of it.
Or just penicillin.
You're good at this.
Yeah. That's why I'm the Green Lantern, bro.
But you're not organized at all.
What about a yellow?
That thing would be lost in like 5 minutes.
But he's a master.
Especially if you weren't taking your medicine.
Yeah, but he's a master of semen.
Can you imagine Vince would seriously lose that in under 5 minutes? Like, dude, I swear I had like a lamp.
Dude, guys, I ate my ring.
I swear I had like a lamp. This alien gave me a ring. I don't know where it is.
Dude, we're interviewing him at 9 o'clock. Leave me alone.
I climbed a tree and
it's
I lost
9:45.
Hey, guys, have you seen my ring? What are you talking about? This alien gave me a ring like a couple minutes ago. I don't know where it is.
I used to be a superhero.
What are you talking about? God, no one believes me. God.
So highly recommended.
Yeah, highly recommended.
All right.
I will say this. Compared to Super 8, you know, I gave Super 8 a pretty bad rating. But I must admit, now I realize... just how far the bottom goes for summer movies.
You reach bottom.
But wait, yeah. Which one did you enjoy more?
That's the other thing that I was getting to. The weird thing about it is Super 8 is one of those movies where it's kind of slick, but it's slick in its badness.
It's like when you buy the pack of razors, the Mach 3s, and they leave that extra one filled with plastic just to make sure that you know that you bought $23 for 3 razors when the pack contained 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Something like that.
Is it exactly like
no,
that?
No, it's more, it's just
exactly.
Like, it's a movie that's really slick, slick in trying to get its point across, but has absolutely no point at all. Whereas, you know, Green Lantern is just totally inept, and it's sort of, it's almost charming in its ineptness, you know? There's, I don't know.
Aptitude.
Yeah. No, do you find that? I feel like I enjoy movies that are, you know, there's charm in ineptitude, whereas something that's slick, but ultimately hollow is like aggravating. You actually get mad at the movie and you get mad at people who for liking the movie. Whereas, you know, when it's ham fisted enough, there's a certain charm to it. Like, oh, this is dumb and it's okay to laugh
at
it.
These poor assholes have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. It's cute. It's kind of it's clumsy and it's.
There's a clumsy cuteness.
It's like children's artwork.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's naive. That almost looks like a house.
I drew you a movie in crayon about aliens and rings
and jizz.
Space jizz. I
think Green Lantern was just one of those things where they're like, oh, we got to make a superhero movie. And then no one involved really gave that much of a shit. They're just kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll just, you know, there's a bad guy.
Are you going to make money off this or not?
Yeah, rings. We'll make some rings and space jizz and put it on the lunchbox. Hey, lunch break.
And that's what it seemed like from the beginning. Like, that's what it seemed like from all the promotional materials, from all the trailers. It's kind of like, you know, Aquaman or something, like just some stupid.
It was like some exec thought that we can make a buttload of money on this. We can like brand it, but no one involved was really like, right. this is going to be awesome. There was no one involved in that movie who thought this is going to be great.
Right, and
everybody
like,
was just sort of going through the motions.
They probably said, you know, we can get enough people who are like big enough that we can put their name on the poster, but they're not going to demand any kind of like merchandising percentages. Yeah. So we can just like make a shitload of toys and make buttloads of money. You know, that's all they really care about.
Speaking of which, do you guys feel kind of bad for Ryan Reynolds?
Why?
I don't know. I have like a weird pity thing for him where it's like, I don't
know.
I
think anyone had a gun to his head. I don't think anyone had a gun to his head to make this movie.
No. I mean, he's just not like he's not good at picking movies or something. I feel like he's not lacking in.
He's into.
He seems like a really cool guy,
right?
But yeah, he doesn't seem
like he's got something
like he's okay
in there
at what
where
he does, but not like super great. And he's not great at picking projects. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like,
in,
although I, you know, I'd probably, I'd probably suck a hobo's dick to have his life instead of mine. But
multiple hobos.
Profound sadness in that statement. That was devastating.
Come on,
if Ben's had a Green Lantern ring, you just make hobos
farts for 45 minutes to cheer up.
Make a bunch of green hobos to suck their dicks, so he didn't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
If I had a ring, I'd just make hobos. Just nothing but hobos.
Hobos with boners.
So maybe I can get
so
out of here.
So many hobo boners. Could I have a green ring so I can make a hobo boner and get out of here? I hate this.
Hoboners.
No, hoboners.
Hoboners.
I hate this.
Dear God, please make me a hobo boner so I can suck hobo
please
boners far,
me.
Far from
you have
here.
To get the ring to make the green hobos to suck them all off so you can hopefully die. then can I leave?
Yeah. I didn't mean to make that sound as sad
speaking
as it came out.
Of
I'm going to have to talk about farts for 45 minutes just to cheer up.
So speaking of boners,
I was just saying it'd be pretty awesome to be Ryan Reynolds, and there's really no reason to pity him.
Yeah, there's no pity there.
And yet I do.
Yeah. Spielberg's the same way, where he's like
Spielberg.
A nice guy, but he's not really that good at what he does.
Spielberg's a dick.
Yeah. Anyway,
so there's a Shaq sex tape. Is that true? Brendan seems to know
a lot about this.
Can
I just say that without Ben, we would be completely lost? Like someone wrote in and they were like, Ben really keeps the broadcast together. I fully acknowledge that.
The one time I wasn't here, we have a random guest on and it almost shut down the internet.
No, it almost broke the internet with the sheer weight of his assholery.
He's our Green Lantern who keeps us together with his rings.
Yeah, mostly space jizz.
His Jew rings.
My Jew jizz.
He covets them because they're shiny.
But I don't lose them. I organize that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all cataloged. Yeah.
Oh, this ring is from 1987.
What are you doing tonight? I'm alphabetizing my money.
He's got his translucent green visor
on. Alphabetizing? I put it. It's serial numbers, Vince. Come on, man.
Sorry.
The fuck?
He's got his translucent green visor. Like.
That's the only thing he can make with his Green Lantern ring is a visor.
And a money counter.
Wow.
Well, if by knowing a lot about it, you mean I read the article in the LA Times, and yes, I know a lot about the Shaq
sex
tape.
You know more than all of us. Vince, are you aware?
I'm aware of it. I'd read about it, but I could not figure out what the hell the story was about. There's like some guy who discovered Ray J and
the article
was pissed
that
somebody cut him out of the money that someone got for discovering Ray J. I don't know how someone goes about discovering Ray J since he was like a famous person's sibling and he doesn't actually do anything. So
that's Brandy's
brother.
Yeah.
Brother.
Anyway, Brandon, but you tell the story because I have no idea. What
it was. It was incredibly convoluted. It was like it was bizarre. Like, and especially like the way the article was written, it just didn't make any sense. But apparently, like Shaq had tried to do a business deal. I didn't actually see the part about Ray J. I read it like at work really quickly, but I didn't see the part about Ray J. But apparently, this guy was trying to like get the money that he thought Shaq owed him by saying that he had a sex tape of Shaq. And so Shaq allegedly sent a bunch of like LA Crips to like go, I think it was Main Street Crips to like go and like beat this guy up and like steal all his shit and get the tape back. But Shaq's sex tape.
So does it exist or does not? Now I'm just confused.
No, only allegedly exists. They haven't proven anything one way or the other.
Did this guy get beat up?
He got his ass whooped, yeah. And they took his watch and they took his Rolex and his chains and like $15,000 in cash.
His Green Lantern ring.
His Green Lantern rings.
Man, you only get those like once in Alien.
They took his Rolex?
Yeah.
You might have to call the regulators.
I know. I was hoping that the videotape showed like, first of all, horrifying. Shaq like having sex with a girl would be like, yeah. Like just doing all weird. But I hope he like nuts on her face and goes, kazam.
Isn't it Shazam?
It's Kazam, it's wasn't it?
No,
yeah.
It's Kazam.
Kazam.
I think it's Kazam. I think Shazam is something else.
Yeah.
Shazam's like a...
I think that's something lightning. That a
different lightning Superman.
No, it's something Shazam's that a different like, some.
Yeah, he was a Superman knockoff. No,
I thought Shazam is something that a different superhero says is sort
yeah,
of
yeah,
his
yeah,
like,
it's like a lightning.
It's
Superman.
Shazam. Yeah. Is the Shazam name of the superhero?
Yeah, he's got like a lightning instead of.
He was
a
basically a Superman knockoff, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's not much of a sex tape story.
Kazam.
What I do want to hear is the Australian joke of the Dalai Lama.
Oh, all right.
Dalai Lama.
I can play that clip.
I found this extremely humorous.
Here's an Australian man, that Australian news anchor in Adelaide, who, you know, had a little encounter with the Dalai Lama. Maybe it didn't go so well.
Hey, Dalai Lama.
I did maybe share did? A gag with Dalai Lama because he was in such fine form. I decided that I would tell this gag. Now, it did prove to be not my most successful ever. Check it out. So the Dalai Lama walks into a pizza shop.
Cosa shop?
Pizza?
Pizza shop, yes.
Yeah, pizza shop. And says, can you make me one with everything?
What's that? What's that? Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Can you make me one with everything?
He's flailing now.
Oh, theoretically possible.
Oh, I knew that wouldn't work.
He laughed more at the fact that it didn't
he just
work.
Got clowned by the Dalai Lama, just laughing in his face.
What's sad is the Dalai Lama totally knew what he was talking about, and just like, yeah, well...
You know that a joke's in trouble if you've got a translator off to the side every couple of words.
I like the... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's the best part. You know what I mean?
We got to get that on the soundboard.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So that's even better than crickets, just like, you know what I mean? Anyone? Hello?
Hello?
Is this thing on? Mate.
You know what I mean?
Are you listening to me?
So the Dalai Lama walks into a
He walks into a Macca's and he says to the clerk, mate, I would like some fries.
You said chips, whoa, you idiot.
Yeah. Chips, yeah.
You fucked that up real bad.
You know what I mean?
I need that cricket. I wish I had that cricket
him.
Button
Give
handy.
Some Australian.
Oh, yeah, it's a great-looking audience. When I heard there was an open mic, I thought it was a great invitation for a gay porno. You know what I mean?
Say something about capsicum, because that's a dumb thing to call a bell pepper.
I had never heard capsicum until you guys said it. Before we started the broadcast,
it is a dumb thing to call a bell pepper.
We were talking about how like their slang is usually the more childlike slang, so it's weird when it's flipped. Like they, you know, we call them blinkers, and they call them indicators, which is weird because you'd think you know our slang would be indicator, and theirs would be.
I did
it wouldn't be slang. We would call it the proper thing, and they'd be like, "I don't know why the fuck you call it an indicator. Look at that fucking blinking thing. It's just fucking blinking at me.
It's a blinker.
It's a blinker."
I do enjoy their refusal to pronounce French words.
Yes.
We got
chicken fillet.
Yeah. I ordered a chicken fillet and said it like that at like a fucking Subway. And Vince looks at me and goes, "Did you just call it a chicken fillet?" I'm like, "That's what they say here." He's like, "That doesn't make it okay." Ever.
They also refuse to put the accent on anything but the first syllable of stuff. So, you know, like, what's that? Oh, is it a Nissan? Oh, it's a Nissan. Everything's like that. I forget what are the other. Yeah, there's a lot of first accent words. Anything that's Latinate that has the.
And they drop all of the letters that are important to the Aboriginal names, like Indrapilli. Had like 13 other syllables in there.
Yeah. Or, yeah, there was Ipswich, and, you know, the other one was Gatton, or what I thought was Gatton, Gatton. Oh, it's Gatton.
Oh, shit, you didn't understand. So the reason I pronounced it chicken fillet was because I got so much shit for calling it the regatta. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the...
Yeah, regatta.
Oh, look at the Frenchman. too good to go to the regatta. Fuck! I got like 3 days of shit for that. So then I, yeah.
It's a lot of shit.
Fillet.
I did like the political... So
I haven't actually watched this yet.
It is brilliant.
Yeah. In L.A., it's some like councilwoman, whoever doesn't like her, made some absolutely totally absurd video. She had some reform gang members go and try to like talk to local.
She has them doing like gang outreach stuff, which basically every major city has. They get like people who are out on parole, and they just like instead of like just saying, "Hey, here you're out on the streets now," it's like, "Hey, we're going to give you a job that pays you, and it's your job to like go talk to gang members and try to like get them to not be in gangs."
So that is the entire thesis of this ad.
In an insane effort to reduce gang violence, Janice Hahn hired hardcore gang members with taxpayer money to be gang intervention specialists. She even helped them get out of jail so they could rape and kill again.
Wow. All the same clip.
Give me your cash, bitch, so we can shoot up the street. Give me your cash, bitch, so we can buy some more heat.
Okay, so there's now black guys dancing around with AK-47s while a white stripper shakes her ass.
Well, with a lot of money in her G-string.
Yeah. Right.
We can get out the pen. Give me your cash, ho, cause we back in again. Give me your cash, bitch, so we can shoot up the street. Give me your cash, bitch, so we can buy some more heat.
Her face is on everyone's butt.
It's all different people. It's like criminals.
Incidentally, for like five more minutes.
Yeah, one of the guys looks like Luther from Two Live Crew.
I'm confused as to who I should be voting for. I want to vote for the musicians here.
Kind of person to be able to speak the language.
Wow, did he just rape her with an AK-47?
Yeah, he's stuck an AK-47 in her ass.
Wow. That's going to hurt. And then it says Congress has enough gangsters.
Yeah, and it shows other Congress peoples.
So wait,
I want to know what they told those black guys. Did they give those black guys the script before they were
hey, you want to make a Republican ad?
Yeah. I was thinking about that too. Like, how do those auditions go? Like,
okay, so you're going to be the violent Sambo in this.
Yeah. You're going to be the minstrel and
yeah.
So anyway,
it's pretty effective ad. I'm not going to vote for her now.
No way. Give me your cash, bitch, so we can get some more heat.
It always blows my mind that, you know, political elections, you know, all the smart people are usually decided long before. So they spend $20 billion trying to sway like the 10% of swing voters, basically like the idiots
the dumb people have decided before, too.
That's true. But they're trying to sway
of a Venn diagram.
They're trying to sway someone who's actually capable of being swayed by that kind of commercial.
I believe in commercials. Tell me what I should do.
Yeah.
I didn't know who to vote for until I saw this one ad. And now
I don't want my strippers getting raped with AK-47s.
That's one thing I don't want.
I hear this is going viral.
We do have a real human doctor in the house, and I did want to get some clarification on...
Here, he can use my mic. It's really clammy.
On fecal transplants, because this actually changed Brendan's entire life.
It did, and we actually got a couple emails that were like, "Hey, guys, talk to my mom. She's a doctor. Says it's not true."
It's true.
Yes! In your face! In your fucking face! It's true!
Not a very common procedure, but it happens.
Have you ever performed a fecal transplant?
Not intentionally.
So basically they're like missing some sort of bacteria in their gut and they need someone else's poop?
They're missing E. coli, right?
I guess, well, so there's a couple situations. There's people who have like ulcerative colitis, which is they think is an autoimmune disorder, where they just the colon homeostasis is thrown off. And there's another circumstance where some people, after getting antibiotics, they get a colonization of a very nasty bacteria, C. difficile, Clostridium difficile, which can be really bad. And apparently, when no other treatments have worked for these things, they will take feces from a person who supposedly has a healthy intestinal tract. And
so do they funnel it in? How do they?
Do you go to the feces bank and donate?
Because Brendan wants to do that.
Because I can make a deposit right about now. I want to change someone's life.
I have chosen
save someone's life.
You could potentially say these are very bad things. I don't know how you go about donating. it's not my field of medicine.
I want to be in like a dramatic movie where I'm like the doctor was like, damn it, someone's got to save him. And it's like, no one matches his blood type except for you. Like, god damn it.
Butt type.
Yeah, yeah. No one matches his butt type except for you. All right. And then roll up my sleeves.
It's too dangerous, house. It'll never work. Yeah.
And you've got a fecal transplant donor card.
Yeah.
In your wallet. Yeah.
I got a pink dot on my license and a brown dot.
Take my poop, but not my soul. Leave that in there. No bags on my butt when I die.
I guess that'll make sense later.
Yeah.
they don't know about that yet.
That's from the future. Well, that's really that. I think Brendan was legitimately concerned.
Thank you, doctor.
No, but seriously, how do they do it? Do they cut open the gut and put the poop in there, or
no? I think the donation can be made. In a regular fashion of
no. How do they put the poop in the person's butt?
I imagine they could. It can go in the out way.
All right.
Is it possible to get Brendan in on a live? Just put,
I need to see this. An observation deck. I'll be eating Junior Mints like that Seinfeld episode.
I mean, if they got really fancy, maybe they convert it to like pill form or something. I don't know.
No, you got to do it the real way.
Yeah,
pooping back and forth forever.
I mean, yeah. Like, here's the thing. I couldn't live in a world where that was introduced to me like what, a month ago, and then suddenly just have it rent from my arms. You know. I couldn't abide by that.
You can't
so
live in a world like that.
Thank you, doctor.
I can't go for that.
Me and Hall and Oates.
Yeah,
could not go for that.
That actually changed Brendan's entire...
Changed my whole perspective on shit.
Literally.
It was a game changer.
Yeah. And now he's been scouring the internet trying to figure out where and when he can donate feces.
Yeah.
I mean, he spends hours... It's become... dare I say an obsession?
Yeah. Frotketeers, by the way, if you have a poop transplant story, send it in to us, frotcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you've received or given.
Yes.
If you've received one.
Or if you need some.
Yes.
Yeah, if you've received a fecal transplant or if you have been the donor of healthy feces.
And you're in the San Francisco Bay Area.
If you've received a contaminated fecal transplant in the past 18 months, yeah, please contact the law offices.
Of shitty and yeah, that could be a class action lawsuit. We know someone who could look into that.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the term class action lawsuit?
Ulcerative colitis, poop gut, the gout.
Doo-doo stains.
IBS.
Stinky. Did you eat oatmeal? Oatmeal soap.
That's just on the ad. Did you eat oatmeal? Oatmeal soap.
Soap.
Well, either one.
Comma. Oatmeal soap.
Oatmeal soap.
Did you guys see any movies this week?
I actually saw the Bobby Fischer movie.
Oh, did you like it?
Yes, it was all right.
It was a little slow.
It was a little slow.
There was another... I didn't get to review it because I'm terribly... terrible at my job, but there was another one about this guy, the HBO documentary series. The next one was about this, fancy chef. What do they call him? The hell are they
chefs?
Wolfgang
Puck. The worst recap of something.
Molecular gastronomy. That's the word. He does that.
It's like a movie about a fancy chef. And
I was trying to think of the specific word that I was going for, which was molecular gastronomy. But yeah,
which means what, like.
It's a very unscientific. It's a faux science, pseudo scientific word for something that's not really,
because they use like pressure cookers and shit, right?
Yeah, it's basically like instead of coming up with rustic recipes, they try to put really weird shit together and put chemicals to
foams and shit,
right? Yeah,
what do you call it? Use like dry ice to like freeze stuff. Yeah, or liquid nitrogen.
Like
or
they'll
whatever.
Take a liquid and they'll put it in like liquid nitrogen and it'll turn it into almost like an egg yolk pearls thing because it'll put like a skin on the outside. And so you can put a lot of weird stuff together. And it was just following this guy. And he started out like he got a 3-star review in the New York Times, which is like a big deal when he was 24. And so he was like this big deal when he was 24 making all this like crazy food. And then. He had a falling out with the ownership of the restaurant, so he had to go try and find a new job, and he got a new job at this, like, you know, regular pub. And obviously the thing about making really fancy food is it costs a lot, and not a lot of people want to come to a restaurant to get pork jowl with, like, clams and Mornay foam on top. You know
what?
Like it's very.
What's Mornay?
I don't know. It was an orange foam, and I think he said something about Mornay is not the same sauce, but there was a braised pork jowl, and he was talking about what he's going to put on top of it, and he put on top of it like steamed clams, and then on top of that he put some sort of orange foam.
Is this the type of meal that comes out where it's a big plate? And then the actual food portion is less than 1% of the plate.
Some of them
was
like,
the owner like
too bad.
Was the owner like a quirky mentor? It almost sounds like Finding Forrester or something.
No, well that's what
like
it kinda,
the owner like really let him like.
No, well that's what it kind of turned into because he was at this pub and at first you know they hired him because he was a big deal and they wanted to let him do his thing, but then you know quickly they realized that it costs a lot to let someone do that and you know commerce. It's sort of like the age-old sort of conflict between commerce and art where there's some guy trying to create art and trying to create something that's new, but especially when it comes to food, people don't want new. They want something familiar. And so, you know, in the middle, he ends up, like, they basically are making him cook burgers.
Dry ice burgers.
He's literally cooking burgers at a bar in the middle of the movie.
That's pretty much the arc for anything art-related where it's, like, resoundingly masturbatory in the beginning,
yeah.
And then you end up cooking burgers. Like
yeah.
is always the conclusion.
Well, yeah.
Like it doesn't matter what type of art you're like. Oh, look, I'm really into like bridge painting, right?
Oh,
like I'm just gonna paint
majors.
Like just gonna paint the bridge cables, and it's gonna be mind blowing because it's a new medium, and then you end up cooking burgers.
Well, it's because it's like someone who's so immersed in whatever it is, whether it's like painting or movies or music, like someone who's really into that, and they're like, I want to make something that someone hasn't eaten, heard, watched, whatever before. And then someone who wants to buy whatever that thing is usually looking to buy stuff that they have heard or watched or seen before. And so, yeah, it's harder to make money that way. But anyway, so that was interesting. And then, he definitely does find a mentor. Like I was actually thinking Finding Neverland where he sort of finds...
You're all the man now, dog.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a different movie.
I said Finding Forrester earlier.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's
fine. Yes.
I don't listen
also
to you.
Also, Finding Neverland. Y'all Peter Pan now, dog.
You're Captain Hook now, dog.
But yeah, it was a good movie, and I didn't get
to
review it.
That's still
20s.
Have you
it.
Not gotten out of that?
No, I was trying.
Have you been?
That's all he does.
The
it's the only voice.
Hey,
he does.
See, you're Captain Hook now.
I was trying for.
You
a
got
little.
A hook for a hand now, huh?
I was trying for a little Sean Connery.
That's your Jag.
I say that hook is really the cat's pajamas. It's the bee's knees. I say. Bring it here on the double.
That's quite a hook you got in that hand, your hand there, see?
23 Skidoo.
Fucking quiz.
You think you're better than people.
All right, so let's bloop in Dr. Blank, which is his actual real name, to talk about fart lore. Vince.
Fart lore.
Yes.
Bloop him in.
Let's do it. All right, we are on with Trevor J. Blank, or as I like to call him, the fart doctor.
Fart Lord.
You guys may know him from an article I wrote this week with the headline, "It is usually boys who make farting a game or a weapon." I believe Trevor won a prize for an essay about the meaning and function of fart lore in childhood as adolescence. And, you know, that just seemed like something that we would love to talk about here on the Frotcast.
Because we are adolescents.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of offended, in fact, that it had adolescent in the title. I was...
Well, actually, believe it or not, that was a typo. It's childhood and adolescence.
So, oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I saw that in the article, too, and I was like, oh, well, should I say something or not? I didn't want to seem like a jerk. But, no, it's childhood and adolescence, so that was, like, the focus area. And there really is nothing creepier than a grown man researching child's fart games, really.
I think it's perfectly normal, perfectly healthy, personally.
Tell me about your fart games.
Vince
well,
does.
They're not my fart games.
Vince often uses his farts specifically as a weapon.
It's,
so he,
it's
he,
true.
That hit home.
Yeah.
Biological.
A flamethrower, to be specific.
I'm glad to have struck such a chord. I'm trying very hard not to use fart puns, so that's why I'm like parsing my words.
Oh no, use all of them.
We do it.
Yeah. Oh, it's very easy because you realize as soon as you just kind of like talk in a regular sentence just about anything, how easy it is to just kind of extract that and make it into like kind of fart humor. Just
oh,
you should
oh, we know, this research. Bro. Trust me, No. So tell us about the prize. Like, what was the exact prize that you won for your essay, and how did that all come about?
Well, it was a huge monetary sum of $100, and which I spent right away on a combination of crack cocaine and books.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, just books. I don't do drugs. Drugs are for losers. Sorry. Basically, what happened is I was taking a class while I was still a graduate student working on my PhD, and I had a really great professor by the name of Simon Bronner. And who's written a lot of books on children's folklore and stuff like that. And he's a real awesome guy. And I'm kind of a goofball. So my fellow classmates were like, oh, Trevor won't do a paper on farts. I bet he won't, because that's just too weird. And I was like, all right, you want to play that game?
So they put you up to it?
They put me up to it, kind of. And so I decided to go for it. And then I just attacked it. I'm just like really totally went at it, because I realized that, you know, other folklores, which I consider myself to be, tended to just collect the materials of fart lore. Like, you'd see it in a book here and there from, you know, 1976 or in the 80s or early 90s, but not really anything that really analyzed it. And so I wanted to try to do one of the first essays to analyze it. And of course, the first four letters of analyze are anal, which is not a coincidence, I don't think. But so I decided to kind of like take on this project kind of as like a pet project. And I just took it seriously, and I started reading a bunch of different books by.
Were there graphs?
You know, no, there were not graphs.
Were there illustrations?
Sometimes, believe it or not, yes, there were for the historical.
Oh, are they wood cuttings? Do they have wood cuttings?
If I could see a wood cutting of someone farting, I think I would die with joy.
Did you come across any? You did research some ancient fart games.
Yes.
There might have been wood cuttings. Were there?
I don't know. What I have seen, an actual wood cutting, not the actual wood cutting itself, but the imprint of it, where the soul was said to have gone out of the asshole when you died. And so there are actual old illustrations of a dude with a bag hanging by a guy's ass as he dies, and then there's a
Your
spirit.
Soul is mine!
Right, and like the devil's cackling in the corner and stuff like that. It's very, very sinister. Oh.
The devil's just laughing because he farted. What is...
the devil's, so he probably lights automatically.
Right.
It's all flaming.
Now, what is the earliest known reference
by his butthole
in print to farting? Was it actually the Gutenberg Bible? Because I like to think in some way that he figured out how to put a reference to a fart in the first thing he printed.
If I had to guess, I would say yeah. I mean, that would be my first guess. I really couldn't tell you the exact answer for
sure. Does anyone fart in the Bible? Maybe in the Gutenberg Bible.
It could be.
But Gutenberg seemed like a righteous dude. He probably was down with
farting. There's Shakespeare fart references.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And of course, the epic poem, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, I fart in your general direction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let us not forget.
Wait, was that an actual an epic poem?
No.
All right. You're just being humorous?
Failing, but yes.
Oh, I was just checking. I mean, I figured, but I just wanted to make sure because, you know, we're dealing with an academic.
Oh, yeah, yes. Some of us are humorous at times, and then other times we're just really not, and we just kind of like have to rely on our corduroy superpowers to carry us through the day.
Someone should do a thesis on how often and in what situations academics are humorous.
Well, I mean, like, it's funny because when you put the microscope under them, like in this particular instance, I had to like talk to myself, not out loud because I'm not crazy or anything, but I had to like go through consciously, like, okay, don't go in there trying to be super funny, because I'm not Zach Galifianakis or anything like that. You know, if you try too hard to be funny, you just sound like kind of a dick. And so
Vince knows that well.
You just described my entire life.
What, the trying too hard to be funny or
ending up being a dick? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Desperate and petty.
It's good intentions are always behind it, just when something's too forced.
Not with Vince. Bad intentions mostly.
Anger and spite and a little bit of like a revenge lust.
All right, but I want to know about what the research consisted of in you know, fart lore research.
Well, yeah, a good portion of it was, a lot of it was historical, so I was trying to find like things to compare it with. And so actually, here's a book that you're going to really want to check out. It's by a guy named John Bourke, Bourke. And it's called The Scatological Rites of All Nations. And basically, this is one of the first big ones. This came out
wait,
in, I think...
Wait, rites, R-I-T-E-S,
oh, I got my
or R-I-G-H-T-S.
Here.
Is it like
I think it's like R-I-T-E.
It's like you can poop better in the yard, but you are not allowed to poop on the sidewalk if it's
right. Well, actually what he did is he first got inspired to do this this research, oddly enough, by witnessing a urine drinking ceremony in New Mexico. And inspired by this for some reason, he decided to collect how the world, you know, world cultures dealt with scatological things, or in layman's terms, poop. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, with poop, to invoke another folk proverb, which is, you know, first comes the poop, then comes the soup. You know, like these different kind of laws.
I have not heard that before.
You've not heard that? Well, maybe it's an East Coast thing. I heard that one growing up.
It's going to get repeated a lot. I'll probably spread it around the West Coast now that I've heard it. I'll smear it all over the West Coast.
Yes, very good.
Sorry, continue. I don't know if Brendan's going to be able to make it through this segment because he's just
been dabbing out already. I'm looking up the scatological rice thing on my Kindle. I'm going to try to download it right now.
I don't think he's breathing in. I think he's only exhaling.
Only farting.
That's exactly why it's so great, is because it's hilarious because we don't like to talk about it, because it's kind of, well, I mean, you all
speak for yourself, like, man.
Yeah, you like to talk about it, but I mean, I think like in general, when I say we, I meant like societal we. Like you don't see on the news today
the royal we
talking about, you know, feces and flatulence or for whatever reason.
Well, they should.
The queen shot it today.
But yeah,
four score and seven queefs ago, my fathers.
Is that Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah, she came in.
Why is she giving?
We blooped her in. I don't know if we. You missed the part where we got her on this conference call.
I was excited. I thought I was about to get knighted.
Yes.
I found a lot of historical stuff and these weird different kind of stories, and I remembered when I was a kid. You know, I grew up in Maryland, the great state of Maryland, and so. What one of the games that always kind of stuck out to me, especially because I was always losing it, was safety, where if you fart and you had until someone said doorknob, and if someone said doorknob before you said safety, they'd get to hit you until you touched the doorknob. And if you said safety, then they couldn't hit you because you had claimed it before they had.
So if anyone farted, then everybody who heard it had to say safety.
Are you not? Have you not?
Let me clarify that. Sorry, it's weird. It's getting late over here, and the Jack Daniels is kicking in. No, I'm kidding. I'm not drinking. Just water. Basically, what would happen is the person who farted would have to say safety, and if they said safety before the other someone else could yell doorknob, they would be safe. But if the person yelled doorknob before they yelled safety, then they'd get to get wailed on until they got hit by a doorknob. And so when I started thinking about like that experience, and other types of games, like, I mean, there's the universal one, beans, they're good for the heart. Like everyone kind of knows that song. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because it's been transmitted through our folklore. And a lot of people think of folklore kind of, they misconceptualize it as like being like fairy tales or things like that. Those are genres of folklore, but folklore more or less is more like traditional knowledge, things that are passed down. And in the past, that's often been through, you know, generation to generation through oral transmission. But now, of course, with the internet, there's a lot more of that going on. No,
so, also through rectal transmission.
Yes. I suppose yes.
He's just the happiest I've ever.
He just got up off the floor for a brief second and said it, rectal transmission, and then went back.
Now
to
it's back to the
floor again.
Back to the good old fashioned rafflecopter.
I'm sweating. I'm gonna take my hat off. I'm sweating.
He's dabbing his face with
his
handkerchief.
This is Brennan's ultimate funny bone. It's his funny boner involves poop and farts.
Do you think this could make it into a paper, the part where Brendan actually ate an entire bar of oatmeal soap just so that he could use his farts as a weapon in a game?
I remember, yeah, that's awesome.
It would be an honor.
I'd actually like to hear more about it if he can breathe.
So there was there was this. Do you really want me to talk about it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
we're doing a little stepbrothers here. I'm the one who's interviewing you now.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I read somewhere on the internet that there was this brand of like natural oatmeal soap you could buy at Whole Foods that gave you just some like wicked gas. It was supposed to be
non-smelling. It was supposed to be it wasn't supposed to stink. It was just supposed to like really gas you up
air.
Good.
An inert, yeah, a lot inert of air. Gas.
Yeah, and so what I did was I took
a noble gas.
Yeah, yeah. Truly a noble gas.
Science and farts.
So what I did was I took a butter knife and I made shavings of the soap and I put it onto some Raisin Bran Crunch. And over the course
already
of the night, I had like three bowls of Raisin Bran Crunch.
Hold on, soap covered Raisin Bran Crunch.
They were like shavings. It looked like truffle shavings
did it,
or something.
Did it come into a? If you spooned it too hard, did it work itself into a lather?
No, not at all.
Did you?
I was gentle.
Did you wash your hands in it after you were done?
I just licked them. No, but so what ended up happening was that they gave me horrible, horrible, awful. Just rancorous gas. It just smelled horrible. And I remember we were at this bar and we were talking to this guy who was a roadie for Pantera, and we got him like really into a story about Dimebag Darrell. And then I farted and he just walked away because he was like so upset. Yeah, that was the last time we talked to Raven.
Was that the last time you ate oatmeal soap?
Also, maybe? The last time I ate oatmeal soap.
What did it taste like? Did it taste like oatmeal? It
tastes like soap.
Yeah,
it didn't taste like oatmeal at all.
I'll have to try that sometime.
Yeah. I mean, hope you don't have a girlfriend. Doesn't sound like you do.
I'm actually married.
Oh, wow.
Well, in that case,
fail.
Then, yeah, just go right ahead.
Best of all.
You got her locked in, man.
Did you
locked it up.
You said you used a knife or did you use like a cheese grater?
I used a butter knife and I just did thin shavings.
Sounds terrible.
It was. It was
now,
awful.
Going back,
but
to,
man, I've sacrificed my craft. You know what I mean?
Going back to fart.
Hey, I want to talk about this more.
We've already talked about it though.
Go ahead.
Going back to fart lore, I've heard that in colonial times.
Colonial.
What?
Fallen.
Wow! I didn't even.
That's why I'm here. I'm always watching.
The Puritans or whatever, when they were chased, when you were courting a lady. That they would sew you into the bed so that you could sleep with the lady that you're courting, but you wouldn't have sex with her.
What?
Is there any historical record of anyone getting like farting and then getting sewn underneath the covers?
I don't know how you could document it because if you're sewing it
with a
wood cutter journal, but not that I know of. It sounds very much like that Mel Gibson movie, The Patriot.
Are there?
I would say that is a completely accurate review of The Patriot.
Well, The Patriot.
I was sewn in a bed with my own parts and could not have sex.
Well, The Patriot is based on a historical record. I mean, very close. Well, Hughes very closely.
This may be
stop
some,
killing my sons.
This may be something that's well known. And I just don't know it. But is there a history behind the term Dutch oven?
I actually don't know the answer for you, so I'm a very bad fart doctor. Well,
I'm just curious. A Dutch oven is an actual thing, and so I'm right. guessing
filled with farts.
It is an actual oven that you.
Yeah,
like,
I mean there is an actual equipment for cooking food called the Dutch oven that is under that you. It's like a black kind of cauldron, and it's on
not powered by farts.
Well, not powered by farts. It's used for food, but what cooks the food is it traps gas inside from the lid and makes it underneath the fire. So it actually has like an actual correlation to the concept. So you're like kind of pulling the covers over to kind of smother the person who you're attacking with your food in the same way.
How familiar is your wife with the Dutch oven?
Not very much because I'm a caring, loving spouse, and I hope to keep it that way.
Oh.
Okay, Trevor.
So you don't take your work home with you.
I try my best. I mean, I take my work home for me in the form of stains. But other than that,
I have this image of you, sitting on your couch watching Terrence and Philip, and then your wife coming in and is like, "What are you doing?" I'm doing research.
No, actually, she'll be alongside me watching Terrence and Philip with me because we both love South Park. It's we like watch it like religiously.
What were some of the, what were some of the other examples of fart lore that we may have not heard about that went into your
fart lore
essay? Yeah, I love that word. I'm sorry.
There's so much that my mind is like literally flooding here.
Squeeze it out in just one cloud and sort of just waft it our direction.
It's one of those oatmeal brain farts.
Relax your sphincter.
You know what blew my mind is when I learned hoisted by your own petards relates to farts. You know that phrase?
I've never heard of it. That must be a West Coast thing.
No, it's like French. Old. Yeah, it's like, oh, colonial?
It's like you're, it's like you're basically floating on, the phrase means like you're floating on your own fart,
are
right?
Like grenades, they, right? But the grenades.
If they had only
like
left it in the Patriot, I would have known it.
That's where I get all my history from. Is that one movie?
You mentioned Step Brothers. I do remember a very long fart scene in that. Did you?
Yes.
Did
yes. You? It tasted like ketchup.
Ah,
and onions.
Ketchup and onion. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think that. I mean, part of the reason that that's funny is not just the ridiculous length and stench of the smell, but also the fact of how inappropriate it is and how the guy who they're about to be hired by is like kind of hip and cool, and even in that situation, you know, you fart in that situation and it smells really bad and it's terrible. I mean, you don't have a job, you know, so it's kind of plays off of you know, they cross the boundary. Mm-hmm. Even for this guy who's already loosened his boundaries in a way.
Yeah.
One
that always sticks out in my mind is the end of one of George Carlin's bit where he's talking about farts and he's like, it was a fart that could end a marriage.
Yes, I remember that one. That's a great one. George Carlin, rest in peace. I was just watching one of his specials the other day, actually.
I always liked in Dumb and Dumber when Jim Carrey lit his fart and the whole room just got brighter.
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite movie of all time, actually.
Wow. Two great flatulence scenes in that movie. Not one, but two. Because you got the fart lighting and then the X-Lax scene.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Well,
yes.
It's defecation with a lot of flatulence that goes along with it.
Right, including several different kinds, including one that makes Harry laugh.
That's true.
So I've said oftentimes before that farting is the universal language. I say this because in college one time, my roommate Dickie and I were walking across campus.
And Brendan farted, and he understood what he said.
Wait, can I
No, close, actually. We were walking by the International Student Center, and
let me give some context. These guys we visited them in college, Dickie and Brendan, and they were like, hold on, let me put on the mixtape. And it's like 10 minutes of them just farting into a microphone and recording it.
Yeah, we had a microphone hooked up to like a ghetto-ass home karaoke machine. And
it was four tracks, so it was like quadruple-tracked farts, so sometimes they'd sort of overlap on each other.
I plugged in my guitar pedal to it, so I put in like distortion. We had like distorted farts. It was pretty sweet.
Continue.
And
it sounds like tween wave.
Yeah,
it was a lot like Tween Wave.
Yeah.
This was well before.
And this is like 2001. So, I mean, we were way ahead of our time.
This is the pre-Tween Wave. It's
groundbreaking.
Yeah. So, it was a 12-minute fart tape. And one time when my CD player in my car was broken, I drove from Southern California up to the Bay Area on Christmas break, and I listened to the tape like five times in a row, and it never got old. But anyway.
You could say it didn't get stale then.
Right. Back to the original story. I'm walking across campus with my roommate Dickie, and we're at the International Student Union, and this poor Japanese girl comes up to us. She's tiny. We were both very large men, and she comes up to us, and she goes, excuse me, do you know, and she's struggling to find the words, what I got, and he just rips the most colossal fart. It was so amazing, and she just puts both her hands to her face and goes, oh!
I don't know incredible. What's funnier, the story or your racist depiction of Asians.
That was how she talked.
You should see him stretching his eyelids out as he tells that story here.
That was her accent, man. I'm not making it up. I mean, it was the International Student Union. She didn't speak English.
I believe you. It was actually funny because I know plenty of people who talk like that as well.
She walked away bowing. She didn't want to turn her back to them at first, so she sort of
because she respected.
She backed it away, bowing.
She respected the
kept
fart.
Bowing.
She actually like farted back.
He claimed his territory. Yeah. You know. So you're invading my space, America. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say, everybody, it is kind of a universal language, I guess, if you want to take it that far, but because everybody does fart. I mean, unless you're dying or dead. I mean, even the dead, if you've seen 6 Feet Under, technically make farts because gases escape their body as they die. But everybody
farts.
It's a
death rattle.
That's right, exactly. But everybody farts. It's a natural, normal biological process, but because of our societal pressure to, no pun intended. See, I told you it's easy. There's a lot of pressure to not talk about it openly.
Yeah.
And usually when it is talked about openly, it's kind of, you know, labeled as, oh, frat humor, oh, guys being immature or whatever. But, you know, I see just the opposite in that. You know, when it comes to farts, seriously, in growing up, a big part of the reason why fart lore exists, why there's games, why there's songs, why there's beliefs about farts, is because children and adolescents are still learning to control their body and what they are as human beings and what things they can kind of do. And so learning how to control gas that's produced inside of them by making it into something that's kind of fun or easier to understand and process is a big part of the reason why we end up growing up to have all these ideas and understandings about farts.
That's how right, man but, becomes but God.
Here's my question.
Wait, I have a question. I have a question.
I have a question.
I wanted to
but
say,
I also have a question.
He said beliefs. I wanted to know about the superstitions that went along.
I choose Vince's question.
Okay, fine.
I wanted to know if you said beliefs about farts. I wanted to know some interesting fart superstitions.
Oh, gosh. you know, I'm drawing on my last name right here, actually. I've never actually gotten to say that to anybody out loud. I've had that in my head for a long time.
You should have kept it there.
I told you, the academics trying really hard. Kidding.
Well, this gives Brendan a good opportunity to, you know.
I have
in.
A question that you may know the answer to. So you okay. said that it's, you know, farting's a natural thing. It's a biological process, of course. But, you know, society puts this kind of taboo on it, right? But that said, I mean, I think everyone I know you're not a fart anthropologist. You're a fart doctor. But if that were the case, wouldn't certain societies just accept farts as normal? I feel like everyone I've ever run into finds farts funny, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, my particular study was limited to just the American context because my PhD is in American studies and I study American folklore. But there, an anthropologist would probably be better qualified to tell you about world cultures because I don't really know too many cross cultural comparisons other than from the historical side that I've learned about. And I think
we'll have the fart anthropologist
why farts
on next
are
week.
So funny though. Is because they're kind of unacceptable to talk about, but everyone does them. And so because you both know that, I mean, you walk into a room, you make eyes with, you know, someone that, you know, you're attracted to.
And then you fart.
You both fart. it's inevitable. But, you know, so when it happens or something like that, if you laugh about it or make it into something that's kind of funny or it's fun to joke about, it makes it so it's not as awkward. Unless, of course, the air tastes like ketchup.
I'm picturing like an overwrought like cinematic scene where like two people lock eyes and then just like.
Dude, there's a Craigslist missing you or whatever the fuck it was, and it's just like, girl, you farted on the bus. That's cool because you're hot. And I thought that was kind of sweet.
Yeah,
that is sweet. That's darling. I loved it.
Are farts bigger in America? I've heard.
I don't know. It's not like I don't have any wood cuttings of me with a bag near someone's ass to measure it. So I don't actually know
steal
the
their soul.
I can tell you that guys fart more than girls.
Biologically
that is
or, why is or that? Because we're awesome?
I think it could be a bit of both. Actually, I don't. It's just a biological difference. They both produce the same amount. It's about a quart a day between men and women. Just men tend to do it more, and when women do it, they actually fart more at a time.
Oh, so they're like fart camels.
Wait, it's a quart including air or a quart of liquid matter?
A quart of flesh.
Well, it depends how you have to cool it down to make it liquid matter. Wait, hold on.
Maybe if you eat oatmeal soap bars.
If it was cold enough, if I could fart into a cold environment, could we actually make a liquid gas, like a liquid
a
gas?
Frozen fart.
Yeah.
It's distributed. It's not liquid.
That's
it's
a good question and one
right?
I do know the answer to. The answer is 20% of you can. The reason why is
20% of us can.
I'll tell you why. Have you ever seen poop that floats?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that only happens to 20% of humans, and that's because there's methane that is in the gas or that is in the poop, which causes it to float. But I didn't know that. I thought everyone's poop floated. But apparently only 20% of
you
wanted humans.
The lucky 20%.
Only 20%. So you can't actually light a fart unless you have methane. Because methane
holy shit, Vince,
so
if
you have floating
one.
Poop, it means you can
so
light
wait,
your farts
not
on fire.
Everybody can light their farts?
That is correct.
What?
Not everybody can light their farts.
I'm learning so much.
Oh man,
now,
I am like
now. It might seem
I'm like the Dalai Lama of farties.
It might seem like you're lighting a fart because you know if air moves quickly into a small space, it's going to produce something that looks like, you know, you're lighting your fart, but you're not going to actually, you cannot actually cause a flame.
I've seen fire spread up Vince's ass crack more times than I would care to recall.
One time we were at a restaurant that had candles on the table, and I had to fart, and I told Brendan, and he put the candle near my butt.
No, but it was a candle. It was a candle
you
like
told
down.
This story so many.
It was
times
one of those small
broadcast.
Disc candles, and it was in a big cup.
It made an audible pop, like one of those little snappers that the kids in Chinatown
throw.
It was
like a Christmas light bulb falling.
and it blew out.
Yeah. I hope he washed his hand afterwards.
Yeah.
It was like disinfected. All the hair was burnt off.
It was like will-o'-the-wisp.
There was nothing could live on that surface.
So what, he just went back to his food and was like, ah, fuck it.
Well, it was a bar. We were drinking.
We laughed for about 10 minutes, and then we told everybody we saw for about like 6 weeks.
And everyone was so unimpressed, except for us.
Yeah, and then that was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now. So you do the math. You could put that into one of your graphs.
Yeah. There we go. All right.
You could make it like a diaspora of like how it spread. Like
a scatter chart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, diaspora.
Instead of like a disease vector chart, it's like...
So the story like of Vince blowing out a candle with his ass.
Like Dustin Hoffman, an outbreak.
Right.
You know, I think we need to work on a screenplay here is what I'm hearing.
About farting?
With our farts combined, who knows what could happen.
Kevin James is definitely starring. That's all I know.
He should be a serious role, you know, kind of give him a chance for an Oscar nomination finally.
Paul Blart, Mall Fart.
I think we got to work on
the title there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not very good.
That one should have stayed in the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to squelch it, but the, you know, it just slipped out.
That's Vince being a dick right there.
Now you know how I feel. Yep. So that's all right.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well,
That was very educational.
Dr. Blank, I can say without reservation that you are the greatest guest in the history of the broadcast.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored to have such a distinction. And
the honor is all on this side of the console and jack-off couch.
If you ever actually teach a class on fart lore, I guarantee Brendan will be in the front row taking copious amounts of notes.
Yes.
Well, I do teach about fart lore when I teach introduction to folklore classes too. It's one of the things we talk about during children's folklore too. And I happen to actually teach classes online, so people can actually take it.
Brendan,
Penn State,
sold.
I like to imagine you as like Indiana Jones when Harrison Ford is teaching the class, and like you're up there teaching about fart lore, and then. And there's like the hot girl in the front row, and she's got, you know, "Love You" written on her eyelids, like in Indiana Jones.
And then she farts
because she's got fart groupies.
When did that happen in Indiana
Jones? No,
it
says "Fart me" on her eyelids. It happened at the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Well, after the flashback part,
Brendan, if you could go back and change your major, would it be fart lore?
Absolutely, without hesitation.
What are you like a communications degree?
Yeah, same thing.
You can actually study folklore as a major in numerous colleges and universities across the United States, especially in California. There's actually several places you can, and even get up to a PhD in folklore. I did my master's degree in folklore and then got my PhD in American studies with a concentration in folklore. But if it's something that interests you, it's something that I encourage a lot of people to check out, afsnet.org, which is the American Folklore Society's website page, which tells you a lot more about folklore and what folklorists do. There's a lot of cool stuff out there that I think people would be interested to know more about folklore, because a lot of people do think it's just fairy tales, which always makes me sad inside.
Sometimes it's farty.
I talked to a dude once who went to Cal, and he was getting his doctorate, or I can't remember if it was his master's or his doctorate, in latrinalia, which is the study of shit that you write on the bathroom wall.
Well, in Berkeley, that was the place to do it. Alan Dundies was a folklorist there until he died back in 2005 or so. Here's another one for you to check out. You're not going to be able to find it on your Kindle, and if you can't find it online, email me and I'll get you a PDF of it. But there's an article that came out in 1968 by Alan Dundies called "Here I Sit." And it's a study of bathroom graffiti, which he called latrinalia.
Which, of course, ends up being a fart joke.
Well, here I sit broken hearted.
There's fart stuff in there, too. Right. I mean, I cited him in my research as one of the things to compare. Like, one of the pieces of latrinalia that I saw I do have a section, I should email you the actual article, too. You probably want to see that, wouldn't you? But there's a section on latrinalia in there, too. And so there was... there's the "here I sit" pattern, and it's been kind of developed to modern context. So one thing I saw in a bathroom stall that I wrote down and published about was sitting here sitting here beneath it, sitting here among the vapors, brought the weed, forgot the papers. You know, so yeah. It was written there, so it's like almost like a poem in a way. But yeah, there's like a whole
now. Would you call Professor Dundee's the godfather of fart lore?
I would have to give him a big credit towards it. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things about Alan Dundee's is that's really great was that he was one of those folklorists who wasn't afraid to kind of go after the subversive or kind of hard to talk about.
He's like the Lenny Bruce of folklorists.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, in a way, I mean, he was not afraid to do a lot of like psychoanalytic Freudian kind of interpretations of folklore, which was kind of controversial at the time. When he
next time you're on the broadcast, I want to talk to you about Freudian analysis of farting and Freud's kind of whole take on that.
Okay,
I think
sure,
that'd be
you
fascinating.
Bet.
Well, thank you for coming on. You are our 1 year anniversary guest. Yes. So
congratulations on a year's success, guys.
Yeah.
That was
wouldn't call it a success. Frankly, looking around, yeah, there we go. That's more like it.
Hey, we got a soundboard now, so
yeah, it's true.
We've grown.
It's
we've
progress.
Grown. Well,
progress.
Thank you, Dr. Blank.
Thank
Can
you,
I call you that?
Dr. Blank. It's been enlightening.
Yeah.
Thank you, and to anyone who's wondering, Blank is my last name, even though it sounds like a porno name.
Yeah, I was not trying to be insulting. It's like you're like Martin Blank in Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, I remember when that came out when I was a kid, and I remember thinking, oh, finally there's going to be someone who has my last name in a movie, and of course he ends up killing people.
Well, he was pretty
underrated
cool, though.
Movie.
That was a great movie.
In a lighthearted way, yes. Too. John Cusack is pretty awesome.
I'm gonna put
he inspired
a bullet
me to have sideburns.
And then I'm going to fuck the brain hole. Nice talk, sugar mouth. I can quote Gross Point Blank all day long. Anyway, we're going to get back to farting on each other, but yes. We appreciate you coming on, even though I know it's late on the East Coast, so thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks a lot for having me.
Alrighty. All right. Thank you to Dr. Blank for coming on and making Brendan pee his pants.
Yes. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. Since the last time we talked about poop, frankly.
Which was
two weeks ago.
Is there anything on earth that makes you laugh more than farts and poop?
No, absolutely not. I got sent to the principal's office in third grade just at the mere mention of the scene in The Naked Gun where Leslie Nielsen's at the press conference and leaves his mic on. Then he goes in the bathroom and starts peeing. And then everyone can hear it at the press conference. He starts farting. I got sent to the principal's office for that.
I like that still makes you laugh, even you talking about it.
You couldn't even recall the story of him remembering a scene of a movie where a fart
that
occurred.
That scene's brilliant. He starts peeing and he's like,
laughter.
Da 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 da. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
It's like three levels removed. It's still blowing its... I love it.
Yeah. It's still chuckling his brains out.
Yep.
Well, we got 52 weeks of these in the book, so thanks to everyone for listening. We do appreciate all the emails. If you have stories specifically about farting or pooping...
Yes.
We may not all enjoy it, but Brendan definitely will.
I definitely will. We've come a long way since we discussed the A-Team all those weeks ago.
Many moons ago.
Oh, fuck, man. The A-Team.
Yeah.
I never saw that.
Still haven't seen it, huh?
No.
Sounds about right.
No, I think not much has changed around here.
It's free on Netflix. Still can't enough to watch it. Fuck you, Vince.
Well, thanks to
A-Team.
Oh, yeah.
I'll send my review in next week.
It's not that interesting.
We'll talk about it or something.
Yeah. No, it's not worthy of talking.
Well,
about.
Thanks to everyone for listening all these many episodes, and thanks for listening to this one. Thanks to Dr. Blank, Brendan, take us on out of here once again.
Poop transplants are real, you guys. Good night and good chins.